Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
People of this city have spoken. The mandate is clear. It is our obligation to create a city in which our prosperity is shared and there's opportunity for all.
One interesting thing when Mayor de Blasio takes office will be his relationship with city council. Council, too, seems about to head in a more progressive direction. Let's talk about that and how much Governor Cuomo might stand in the way of the de Blasio agenda with Colby Hamilton, writing about City Hall, a City Hall reporter for the local news website DNA Info. He blogged about Albany for us when he used to work here at WNYC. Hi, Colby. Welcome back.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
So City Council will leave the Christine Quinn era by taking power away from the position of Speaker?
That's what's on the agenda right now for about 30 council members, some of them current, some of them coming in. When you talk to them about this, they make it very clear they don't want this to be about Christine Quinn. This isn't, you know, legislation that's meant to reflect their relationship with her. But there's definitely a movement among the more progressive element of the party, of the council, to make this council, this next council, work differently, to have it have a different relationship both with the mayor and with the speaker, and with a mayor that's arguably going to be a lot more in line with their agenda. They were thinking that they should be giving more power back to the actual members.
So, for example, the speaker wouldn't have the power under this proposal to bottle up legislation from coming to a vote, especially if it had majority support on the council, as has happened.
Yeah, they want to be able to, if there's a majority of people that at least support it, that it should get a vote. Move it out of that. They want to give more power to individual heads of the committees, so that they can actually become more like Congress. They'll have actually the ability to do more on the subjects that they're on the committees that they're on. They want to be able to allow grievances to be heard more. So a lot of this is giving them power, moving it away from the speaker. They say it's going to make it more democratic. It's going to allow members to be better serve the communities that they come from. And a lot of it's just, you know, this is the good government side of the city council that's now in there.
And this came up, for example, with the paid sick leave bill, which had the votes to pass in council. But Christine Quinn kept it from the floor for a long time, presumably for political purposes, having to do with her run for mayor. It was widely presumed. And then when the pressure got too intense during her campaign, she worked out a compromised version of it, I guess, with business leaders. And then she did bring it to the floor. So is this a reaction to that kind of thing?
Well, I think that they've recognized that they want to have, when you talk to the council members that are proposing this, they want to have a different type of council. When Mayor Bloomberg was in there, they needed a speaker from their perspective. You got to remember, she got reelected as speaker once. She was in there for 8 years. So they supported her the second time around. They want a speaker and a council that has a different relationship, that has the ability to do more, have individuals do more, have a partnership with the mayor, who's going to be a lot more along the lines of the political lines that they are. And they want to be able to have more control as members, right, as a council.
You know what I wonder about that particular piece? Other members being able to bring measures to a vote without the speaker having to sign off. Would that be an unusual amount of democracy for a legislature? You know, we hear about John Boehner deciding as speaker whether a bill will get a vote in Congress. That has been very much in the headlines lately, how a majority would have voted to reopen the government, but he wouldn't allow that to come to a vote because most of the Republicans didn't want it. Sheldon Silver, same thing in the state assembly. How unusual would it be to distribute power to that degree?
Well, I think, you know, those are strong leadership legislative bodies, right, where the leader has been the one that dictates the terms, dictates the legislative agenda, dictates sort of the nature of the body. I think it definitely will be a different sort of council if you have these reforms passed. But their goal from when you talk to them is they don't want to have a speaker that has the same sort of power and responsibility that Christine Quinn did, because they feel like the council is now in a different place. They think it's time to have a council that's more democratic and has the ability to set its own agenda by individual members.
And this is being driven by what's called the Progressive Caucus.
Largely. The Progressive Caucus with other reform-minded folks, Councilman Fernando Cabrera from Bronx, Greenfield from Brooklyn, not members of the caucus, but the reform-minded, yeah.
So remind everybody, what is the Council Progressive Caucus, which looks like is ascendant in terms of the power that it's going to have during a de Blasio era? The leader or a prime leader of that caucus, his name came up in the last segment, Brad Lander, who is the councilman who succeeded Bill de Blasio from that same district in Brooklyn when de Blasio became public advocate. And I read that this progressive caucus is likely to expand from about 10 members in the current session to about 20 members come January 1st with the new faces that are coming in. That's 20 out of a 51-member council. So what is this caucus?
Well, it's, you know, this is something that Bill de Blasio wanted to see when he was in the council. This is something that's been growing for quite a while. A lot of people connect the caucus to the Working Families Party. They're kindred spirits. They're not necessarily, you know, one and the same, the Working Families Party-backed folks. But this is certainly a group of council members that decided in the last session that they felt like they needed to have an ideological binder in the council, because, you know, the council tends to be borough driven. You're from Brooklyn. You sort of work with your Brooklyn folks in the council. This was a chance to sort of break through those lines and have a proactive group of people that are to the left, I guess you would say, of at the time, certainly of the speaker and of the mayor. And again, they would be bound by a political bonds rather than necessarily geographical ones. And they have an agenda. They're the paid sick leave. They're the folks that wanted to you know, bring a lot of these progressive items that now we're starting to see. And they're going to have a lot more power in the next council.
Talking about the new council and the new speaker and the new mayor with Colby Hamilton from DNA Info. We'll touch on the potential Cuomo-de Blasio relationship. Colby used to cover Albany, and there are some real landmines there for taxation and pre-K and stuff like that. But then comes the question of who will be the new speaker since Christine Quinn is term limited out. She's leaving. The Daily News reported the other day that de Blasio is quietly pushing one of the progressive caucus leaders for that job, Melissa Mark Viverito of East Harlem. Can you confirm that from your own reporting?
Well, I know that, you know, Councilwoman Mark Viverito has been a huge de Blasio fan. They've worked very closely. She was one of the first people to come out and fully support him. So it's no surprise that he would be angling for her to get that position. I think that with the council speaker race, which has been, you know, sort of a shadow race that's been going on throughout the entire primary and general election, it's one of those, because you have to remember the council speaker is not voted on by the people. It's an internal decision made by the council members themselves to pick their own leader. It's one of those political situations where a lot of backroom talks, a lot of decisions go on that we sort of find out about at the very end. So having the mayor or mayor-elect de Blasio pushing is one of those things that are going on, right? So you're going to have the Working Families Party and Labor pushing for their persons. You have business interests who have, you know, the Jobs for New York PAC folks are going to be pushing for their person. So it's not surprising that the mayor-elect would want to do that, push someone like Melissa Mark Viverito. But it also might just be his way of pushing someone out there to see sort of the way it gets reacted to and figure out how, you know, the next steps in this process.
And by the way, council is 51 members, 48 Democrats.
Yeah, 48 Democrats. And I think when you see the Progressive Caucus, it's sort of a subdivision, right? They're the folks who have self-declared themselves to be even to the left of a lot of the other council members in there that allows them to have that sort of division inside of the Democratic Party.
Colby, before you go, you have covered New York state government. And earlier in the show, we mentioned very briefly Governor Cuomo's interest in lowering taxes during his reelection season next year, as he runs for a second term and with an eye on the presidency perhaps down the road, many people have said. So he's got this commission co-chaired by former Governor Pataki to lower taxes as a goal for 2014, at the same time as de Blasio will need Cuomo's approval to raise taxes on the wealthiest 1% in the city. Are they on a collision course?
I'm going to say no, but I'm going to qualify that. I think that, first of all, you have two incredibly intelligent, politically intelligent and resourceful individuals that are working on that, right? Governor Andrew Cuomo and his former deputy at HUD, now mayor-elect Bill de Blasio. they are going to try and find ways to make this work. That's going to be, I think, what we're going to start looking for. That is going to be that's going to be the big question, is whether they can get something done sooner rather than later. Look, De Blasio yesterday told the room during the press conference that Bridget was talking about earlier, he told them that he's going to start talking to the legislature. And that's the De Blasio way of doing this. He's going to push it inside of the Assembly. He's going to push it inside of the Senate. He's going to find a way to maybe put this on, at least have the threat of putting this on Andrew Cuomo's desk. In the meantime, the governor, if you talk to his folks, the governor said he wants universal pre-K. For him, it's a question of just how do you do it. That's going to be the question. Are you going to be able to – is there a way for the governor to make this happen so everybody's a winner and he doesn't have to raise taxes?
Yeah, the Times was on that idea yesterday too, without getting specific, suggesting that maybe there could be a deal under which Cuomo finds a different way to pay for universal pre-K.
Absolutely.
Which could be a kind of win-win-win-win for him and De Blasio and the millionaires and the four-year-olds.
Yep.
Can you imagine what any such path might look like?
Yeah, the governor has already said that he wants. He's in his state of the state speech this past year. He said he wanted to have universal pre-K. So it's a matter of finding a way for him to find it in the budget. You know, move things around. He's very good at that. He always wants to cut taxes and cut spending. But every single couple of days, there's a new set of funds that are being allocated for some program that he's in support of, usually upstate. So can I absolutely see a way that he finds funds, he finds resources, and a way to make that happen without raising taxes? I think that's going to be the desirable outcome, at least from the Cuomo administration.
Colby Hamilton, City Hall reporter at DNA Info. Colby, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.